Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for today from Philippians chapter 3. Brothers, join together in imitating me and in paying attention to those who are walking according to the pattern we gave you. To be sure, many walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. I tell you about them often, and now I am saying it while weeping. Their end is destruction, their God is their appetite, and their glory is in their shame. They are looking only about earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. We are eagerly awaiting a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. By the power that enables him to subject all things to himself, he will transform our humble bodies to be like his glorious body. So then, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, in this way keep standing firm in the Lord, my dear friends. This is God's word. I invite you to pray with me. Direct us now, O gracious Lord, to hear aright your holy word. Assist your minister to preach, and let the Holy Spirit teach, and let eternal life be found by all who hear the gospel sound. Amen. Detours can be a good thing. If there's construction, you don't want to be driving while there's construction. It's going to slow you down. If there's an accident, it's a good thing that there's a detour, because then you could probably harm somebody else or maybe make the situation worse. But detours can be a bad thing if you are supposed to be on that path. I think of so oftentimes when there is something that we need to, a conversation that we need to have happen, maybe we have to talk to our kids about something or talk to our family member about something, and this is really the thing we have to talk about. And we'll talk about the weather, or the Packers, or the Brewers, or something else. We'll pick the easy subjects because we don't really want to talk about the hard subjects. And that is also true in life. Sometimes there are hard things that we have to do, and we would much rather do the easy thing than the hard thing. And Paul, as he's writing to the Philippians, if you had like a top five list of Paul's favorite congregations, I think Philippians would make that list. I don't know where it would fit in the 1 to 5. But the way that he speaks about them, he calls them his joy and his crown, his dear friends. And the letter that he writes to the Philippians is one of joy. We call it the Epistle of Joy, as he is encouraging them and he is complimenting their faith that is worked in them by the Holy Spirit. Even still, even in this letter, even to people who he has great affection for, he is going to tell them difficult things. He's going to tell them to look out. He's going to tell them to look in. And he's going to tell them to look up. First of all, he tells them to look out. There are dangers out there, Philippians, and they're the same dangers as they are today, as he says, to be sure, many walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. I told you about them often, and now I am saying it while weeping. Their end is destruction, their God is their appetite, and their glory is in their shame. They are thinking only about earthly things. Look out for these. And I like how the Apostle Paul doesn't just give them a label, calls them the enemies of the cross of Christ, but he describes them. You know why I like that? Because oftentimes when we give labels to things, that gives us distance. We'll say, I say, Illinois drivers. And what do you think? People driving too fast, not concerned about the drivers around them. You say, oh, those are bad. Illinois drivers, oh. Even though they're not all bad, but you're right. You know what I'm saying. We're overgeneralizing. Illinois drivers, oh, I would never be like them. And then there's a situation where you need to get from point A to point B, and you are going to go at the speed limit, and you are really not going to care about the other drivers on the road. What have you become? An Illinois driver. But since you put a label on it, then you that gives you distance. That's not me. So that's why I like the Apostle Paul, because he talks about the enemies of the cross of Christ, and then he describes them so that we don't put a label and put some distance, and so that we would not see that problem is not in our situation. And so he describes them for us. He says, these are people who their God is their appetite, their glory is in their shame. they are thinking only of earthly things. Now, when you hear those words, it sounds like, you know, that sounds like a certain segment of the bar culture in Wisconsin. These are individuals who are just concerned about consuming as much alcohol as possible, doing embarrassing things and not caring. Yeah, but it's not that, just that. Let's look at, take a closer look at those words. Their God is their appetite. Now, Paul is using an idiom, and it doesn't translate well. He's talking about, in the Greek mind, a thought that your emotions, your impulses came from your intestines. So any kind of feeling or instinct, I guess the closest thing we've got is like trust your gut. You know, my gut feels something. This is kind of the concept that the Greeks were dealing with. Your emotions, your impulses are coming from your gut, from your stomach, your appetite. Their God is their appetite. And you would say, well, that's not me. I'm a rational human being. You're a human being that has feelings and instincts that you follow more often than you want to admit. I'm the same way. I'm trying to lose weight, and all of a sudden I'm saying, I need to eat now, and I'm like, no, you don't. Yeah, but I do. I feel it. Somebody wrongs you, and you feel like, I need to share this with somebody. Somebody needs to know. I need to vent. And what are you doing? Gossip. We're living in a time when people do not want to be spiritual. They want to feel spiritual. They don't want to be spiritual the way that God defines it, as someone who is watching over their own life and being a one people of repentance, of looking at their lives and saying, I'm not measuring up to God's standard, and I need to repent of that and find forgiveness in Jesus Christ and in Him find the strength to do the hard thing. No, 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 no. We're living in a time when you want to do what feels right. Trust your gut. If I feel this is the right thing to do, it should be the right thing to do. So oftentimes, that's what you're seeing in the lives of Christians, well-meaning Christians, and as you're seeing, if you're looking in the mirror. Am I doing this because it's the right thing to do? Or am I trusting some feeling, some impulses? Our feelings aren't bad. They're not sinful in and of themselves, but our sinful nature is also attached not just to our mind, but also to our feelings, and can influence the impulses that we have and the feelings that we have. And so the Apostle Paul says, look out for those whose God is their stomach, and look also in the mirror. It doesn't end well. He said, their end is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is in their shame. And again, yeah, okay, bar culture, but then also just looking at the terms, glory in their shame. When we think of the glory of Jesus, like on the Transfiguration, the glory of God, everything that makes God, God was there in Jesus. He was taking on all of His divine nature that He has. But that means His love, that means His power, that means His strength, everything that makes Him Him. That's His glory. If we are people who are following our gut and our emotions, if we are acutely aware of our instincts and not aware of the fact that we are a person who is constantly in conflict with our sinful nature, then our glory, what is being revealed, is shame. And we can't get rid of it. No matter how we feel, no matter how spiritual we think we are, we can't get rid of this shame. The shame is just radiant. Only way to get rid of it is to go to the cross of Christ and there say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. So look up. Look in, as Paul says. He says in verse 17, brothers, join together in imitating me and in paying attention to those who are walking according to the pattern we gave you. Look in, not inward, but look into the Word, to the pattern that has been given to us. As we think of Paul is mentioning his life and his example as well, but he's not someone who says he's perfect or that he's got it all figured out. Just earlier in Philippians, he says, not that I have already obtained all this or I have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of for that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. The Apostle Paul said, don't look at me and my example in terms of I'm one who's been successful and victorious over my sinful nature. No, look at me as someone who is pressing on and holding on to that which has taken hold of me, holding on to Christ. Look in to God's Word for that pattern. And the ultimate pattern is not the Apostle Paul, but Christ Jesus. We see that in our gospel lesson for today. Here, Jesus was willing to do hard things, to say hard things, to go in difficult situations because he was thinking of you. I need to go here, and I need to go there, and I need to suffer, and I need to die because humanity needs me. Without me, they're stuck on their shame. Their shame is radiating out. They have nothing, no hope of getting into heaven. So I must do these things, the hard things. I'm not going to take a detour. I must say the hard things. I must do the hard things. The Apostle Paul says, look at that as your pattern. But then look at that as your source. Jesus did all of that for you. Not as just an example, but in your place, Jesus did the hard things, said the hard things, did the hard things for you. So that when God looks at you, he doesn't see you in your shame, but he sees Jesus and his perfection. So look in to that pattern. And because of what Jesus has done for you, that gives you strength to do hard things, because you're only following Jesus. You're not following your gut, you're following Jesus. Saying the hard things, doing the hard things by his strength and by his power. So look in and look up. Paul says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we are eagerly awaiting a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. By the power that enables him to subject all things to himself, he will transform our humble bodies to be like his glorious body. What I appreciate about Paul in this section is this beautiful balance between our existence. We have an existence here on earth where we're struggling with a sinful nature inside of us. We're struggling with the new person inside of us that God has created through faith, through the work of the Holy Spirit. And we're struggling with this sinful nature, which is influencing us in ways that sometimes we're not always aware. We're in this struggle, but at the same time, we are citizens of heaven. He says, but our citizenship is in heaven. And the Greek word there is the idea of it exists. It's real. Not something that you earn or you're trying to grab it. It's there. It's yours. You get all the benefits of a citizen of heaven, someone who is sitting in heaven enjoying the glories of God right now. That is yours right now because of Jesus Christ. You have that citizenship. That's who you are, a citizen of heaven. Even while you are struggling with your sinful nature, struggling with those spiritual battles within, who you are is this citizen of heaven. I like how he talks about that because it reminds me we're in two worlds at the same time. If we're so focused on this world and what's going on right now, then our citizenship here as maybe a citizen of America, then what happens, our thoughts and our drive is always like, what's going to happen in the next election? What's going to happen in the next moment or the next month or here and now? And that's where our focus is. On the flip side, if our focus is always on being a citizen of heaven, we forget about our neighbor. If we think about, oh, Jesus is going to come again at any time, I'm just waiting for him to come, and I'm just sitting here twiddling my thumbs, then we forget that God has placed us in this world to be a light for others, to plant those gospel seeds in other people's lives. We forget that. So if we're focused only on one or on the other, we're not where we should be. But Paul says, look up. Remind yourself who you really are. You're a citizen of heaven with all the rights and all the privileges of someone who is in heaven right now. That means your heavenly Father is watching over you, protecting you. That means that He is providing for you whatever you need, strength or patience, kindness. That's yours as a citizen of heaven. That's your identity. Paul's writing to some of his favorite people in Philippians, and by the Holy Spirit's guidance, we are also hearing these wonderful words of an inspired writer who reminds us of who we are, who reminds us of what we are to do while we are here. To look out, to look in, and to look up. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which is beyond all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.